You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
PM on the East Coast. It's chill, we're cozy, it's glowing, it's only going to get darker earlier, which means the glow is going to be that much more, I don't know. You know, I like taking some tracks from the Eyes Wide Shut soundtrack. I just love it. Absolutely love it. Especially when you got Nicole Kidman staring back at you when you watch it. Look at this. Oh, you bastard. Oh, God, Nicole Kidman, 1999. Bitch. Don't you dare look at me like that. Stop looking at me like that. Fucking don't do it. But there she is. Oh, sorry, Matt. What did you say, Matt?
She's Scientologist, too?
No. I think she got out before the craziness got really bad. She's like one of the few people that got out of Jonestown. But, you know, can we give Tom Cruise a little credit for, like, holding it together? He's going on with his career. He just keeps working.
Yeah,
he doesn't really...
crazy. He's just stupid.
Oh, yes. Well, he is, yes, he is
well,
that.
He did jump up and down on the couch on Oprah.
Listen, when everybody first falls in love with someone, you feel so confident in that kind of giddiness. And then, you know, after time, it's there. It's still very... it's like a well-worn hat, okay? You want to bring the hat everywhere, and you want to flaunt it to everyone. It's a nice, crisp brim. The Yankees insignia is still bright white up against that dark night sky navy blue. You know, like a beautiful star right in the middle of it, and you want to wear it to special occasions, this and that. It's a good hat, after all. And then you spend some really quality time with it, months, maybe a year or two, and the hat just is not something you feel it's appropriate to keep, I don't know, bouncing off the walls about.
Yeah, by that time, it's a little too much broken in, so it's time for a new hat.
No, listen, every once in a while, I guess that's a bad analogy, because every once in a blue moon, you do need to get a new hat. But I don't know, I get attached to my hats. You know, I wore my Brooklyn Dodgers, my first Brooklyn Dodgers hat. I've had quite a few Brooklyn Dodgers hats. My first Brooklyn Dodgers hat I got in Cooperstown in, like, 1996. And I wore it so much that it grew with me. And I was still wearing it. 1996, I'm in sixth grade. I was still wearing it in when I was coaching Little League. And then finally I had to get something else. It was just getting really bad. Like, it would get to the point where if I didn't wear it for 2 days, it would stiffen up and become completely,
right.
You know?
All the hats I wear during the summer.
So it's like death do you part. Okay, so no, it is a good analogy. Because when you get rid of a hat, you're not throwing it out for a new one. The hat usually lives out its life expectancy. Okay, it's dead. It is death do you part. You were loyal to that hat. Just so happens that a hat's lifespan is a lot shorter than a human's lifespan. See? So it is a good analogy. Treat your hats well, everybody. And treat your loved ones well as well. You keep them for a little bit longer than the hat. Oh, what do I have? We have a few things to do. Oh, here's something funny. My editor, I was hanging out with her today. I'm starting to walk with her again. She wants me to, you know, she corrects all of my writing, and she looks at whenever I'm writing something, you know, original and not just the ranty essays on Tumblr. So I walk with her. I go on daily walks with her, and we love spending time together. Okay, Pam from the A&P show. She told me she wanted to show me this jar today. Look at this. This is her fuck a buck jar. Buck a fuck. No, it's a buck a fuck jar. And every time you have sex, you put a dollar into the jar. And she said, she says, obviously there's no money in the jar. She goes, Frankie, this is my buck a fuck jar. Buck a fuck jar. And I said, can I take a picture of this? I have to show people. She goes, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. And I have to have her on the show. It's been a long time since she's called into the show. But then again, you can watch her on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock with my father. So I thought that was funny. Everybody, please, I hope you're putting some bucks in that jar. And what else did I want to get to? Okay, Maj Touré of Black Guns Matter. He was supposed to be on last night. But we had a little bit of a miscommunication. He was actually waiting for me to call him, and I was waiting for him. He was waiting for me to give him a telephone number to call me, and I was waiting for him to accept my Skype request so I can call him. So we were on different pages, but we got all worked out. So Thursday night at 7:15, he's going to be on the air with us. So that's going to be a good one because we can dedicate a little bit more time to him. Monday night, he would have been limited to about 12 minutes anyhow, because then we have to get Alex Blitzes on the phone to discuss the bombings. So that's going to be on Thursday night, Maj Touré. Last night we had Tim Pool on. We're going to do a lot of good work with Tim. Tim is going to start filming and broadcasting his weekly podcast here starting next week, although it's going to be streamed right to his YouTube channel. So you guys are going to have to watch it there. The setting will be familiar, but the website will not. Which brings up something else. Sometime over the next couple of days, I think we're going to be seeing just how ready we are to make the full switch to YouTube. We'll probably be embedding, we'll be taking out the Ustream embed, and we'll be embedding the YouTube viewing and the chat on ZenLive.tv. And our ZenLive.tv YouTube has like over 400 subscribers. So that's something to start with already. But Tim was telling us last night that with the amount of material and the amount of live material that we're doing weekly, especially just this show alone, the consistency of 1 hour a day putting that out, they are trying to, as we all know, YouTube and Facebook are in a death race competition with each other. Right now, they're battling over who's going to be the best in video hosting and who's going to be the best in live video streaming. They're competing on two major levels. And because there's that competition there, they are pushing the go button on everything that is out there that is being done on the platform and that is being done consistently and for long periods of time. That is Facebook Live and also YouTube streaming. Okay, they're competing. So with the amount of content we put out, I really do think that we'd be able to build our own audience a lot quicker than we think. So I would really like to jump into that experiment. And also, let's also do this. You know, thinking about the amount of content that we do put out and how I believe it is just very good quality. I think the conversations we have are fantastic. All the shows on the network, we got a great variety of shit going on over here. But with that type of stuff coming out consistently, there's absolutely no way that people don't start stumbling upon this. Because what's the other thing that's working against us right now? All the love in the world to Brad Hunstable and the guys and the girls at Ustream, who have been great friends to us since 2007 when we've stumbled upon them, and they've given us great amounts of tech support, and they've pretty much put us on the whitelist for everything. Beta testing, new technology, they just gave us the world. And they still do. But, you know, we're starting to, you know, Brad has moved away from Ustream in a major capacity. He sold it to IBM, and now we have this, where we're still, you know, being protected for the most part, but everybody has those ads at home and shit like that. That's not going to happen with YouTube. And the other thing is that I haven't even mentioned yet is nobody's going on Ustream and looking for a video. You know, a lot of corporate work they do. A lot of news channels syndicate to Ustream so that it's a little bit easier for people who aren't, you know, watching through cable, something like that. So they have their uses, and they're making a lot more money because they moved away from user-generated content. You know, it used to be Ustream and Justin TV. You had Ustream.tv and Justin TV. Justin TV became Twitchy eventually, and they both started at the same time. They're both competitors. In fact, when we went to try to test Justin TV one night, it was like one of the first nights we were at the new studio, the old new studio in 2009. Brad found out that we streamed live on Justin TV like twice, and he texted me. He was like, dude, brutal. And I was like, and I had to call him back. I said, man, listen, it was nothing personal. Nothing personal. You know, we're just doing some testing. We're coming back. Because then I realized, you know what? Nothing, no complaining should be done. But at that time, they were still a little more user-generated content. You know, they were following the Lifecasters, those people that were just streaming every waking moment of their lives, whether they took the camera with them or if they just kept the cameras on in all of the rooms of their house. You know, there'd be people sleeping in front of webcams and people just watching them sleep at one point. It was ridiculous. You know, and that kept up for a while. People with the Eagle cams, people, you know, filming the birth of their puppies or their kittens or something like that. So it was really cool. People were going to these websites to look for material, look for shit to watch. It's not happening anymore, and they went in different directions. Obviously, Justin TV became Twitchy, and they have become far more successful than they could probably ever have imagined. And Ustream is doing their own thing. They just went corporate. They went a little bit more network news, all that stuff, sports. So, you know, they're doing their thing. But it cuts people like us out, and we've got to just go where we've got a message to get out there. They had a technology they wanted to advance, you know? Our product is conversation. There's absolutely no reason why we should be staying in a place where the most amount of eyes aren't there. You know, I'm lucky for the people that we have joining us every night just because, just for being that limited in that capacity. Most of the people that watch every night are people that we've met on, you know, we've met and networked with on Twitter, Tumblr, over the years on Facebook. I mean, it's just us doing our due diligence and doing all the digital handshaking, the smiley glad handing and all that stuff, and just networking. It's a lot different than showing up to a convention hall now, you know, suit and tie with a stack full of business cards and shaking hands. That still goes on right now. But it really, if you're doing something in the 21st century that is considered modern at all, you've got to have a plan to reach out and find people and connect with people digitally. Because, you know, we have most of the broadcasters that we had on this network were from other states or other countries. You know, we had Aaron Jackson. He was Skyping in every Saturday for Exposing the Truth.
Alien scientist
Jeremy Reese. He was Ian from Boston. Jacqueline. Ian Jacqueline, California. Canada and California, respectively. I think he's back in Montreal or something on the East Coast time or something like that. Who else? I mean, Rob Blunt is going to be going live. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff with him. So the YouTube move is coming. But I figure we turn it into a conversation, let you guys in on what's going on behind the scenes. Ann Caparato's here. What's going on, Ann Cap? You're already gone. Take care, Max. Later. Who else we got here? Gadget Doc, Moonlit Matt, Nikki, Johnny Vroom, I'm guessing, Jenny Lee, and Murr, a few other people. See where this goes. The only thing I'm really very nervous about is not being able to use the music I use every night. We're going to have to get different music beds to set the mood a little bit, and I hope it's just not cheesy. Because I really... What's that?
change the music for? What are you talking about?
Got to change the music because there's going to be copyright problems. If they
for YouTube?
For YouTube.
But there's already those whatever song you're going to play probably is already on YouTube. So
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go through whatever kind of collections they have that are royalty free. I'm going to go through them all and make playlists and whatnot. But I mean, it's not going to be like going on and playing exactly what I want. The music is actually a big part of the what we do on this show. But yeah, okay. So let's move on to other stuff here. 7:15. I had another story to tell, but I'm not going to do that yet. So I have a couple of stories here that I want to talk to you guys about. Number one, here's The Hill. I have two articles from The Hill here, okay? MSNBC Chris Hayes, who's another one of those, you know, androgynous characters who you don't know if he's like the male, the officially male Rachel Maddow. And she's the officially female Chris Hayes. It's very, very weird what they have going on at MSNBC. But whatever, you know, that's he's cool. He does his thing. But MSNBC's Chris Hayes is getting hammered over guns versus bombs, a bomb comment. Listen to this. Chris Hayes at 11:40 a.m. September 19th says, "We're also very, very lucky that the attackers tried to use explosives rather than guns." Can you imagine what the lunacy and the detachment from reality, the lunacy, the cultish behavior that is, And the first thing that gets to me is like, you know, like, yeah, because, well, a bomb blows up everything, I guess, indiscriminately, just blows up everything that's around it, okay? Man, woman, child, dog, fire hydrant, front porch, it just takes out everything. It's completely indiscriminate. A gun, that's a very personal attack. And we wouldn't want anyone feeling personally attacked when they die, would you? Absolutely not. That's just adding insult to injury. These fucking lunatics!
That's sick that's the first thing that guy thinks is how to attack guns. But here's another thing. Even if no one exploded or was killed in that, what if there was fucking chemicals in that? What if there was fucking anthrax or whatever the fuck kind of virus they could have put in it that when it blew up, but it's fucking airborne?
Dude. What did I say? What did I say when we were on air every night talking about the what the hell's the virus we were talking about?
From
Africa.
I don't remember.
Ebola.
Virus. Yeah.
Now, we were talking about the Ebola virus for a couple of weeks on this show, on and off. Obviously, that reached a fever pitch at one point because, of course, you know, it's not about, look, all these months later, nothing happened. No. It's not about looking back and saying, huh, wow, I guess if we knew nothing would happen, then we wouldn't have freaked out back then so much. It's not about that, because obviously hindsight is 20/20. But it's not about the problem with the Ebola stuff, the problem with any of the problems we're seeing with disease, tuberculosis, oh my God, tuberculosis coming back. All this shit that we're seeing, it's not about people freaking out. It's about whether it is a real threat or whether it may be nothing. It's about doing things on epidemiology level. Let's say that. Doing things by the book to make sure that just even keel, you have standards and you uphold those standards. And that there's no fluctuating line because it might be construed as racist or xenophobic. You remember, that was the whole thing with Ebola, racist or xenophobic. It's about just having those standards there. Yes, if there is a problem, that is, there's a virus or any kind of an epidemic that is on the verge of becoming pandemic, that is killing people, that is a real problem. Okay, we're talking about Zika. Not many people are really dying, but Ebola was turning people into just, you know, soup. It was melting them like candles. It was ridiculous. You know, it was like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. When you see that going on, you shut down travel and you isolate it, and you quarantine. It is so politically incorrect to even mention quarantine now. Yep. Michael Savage even mentioned that today. He wasn't talking about Ebola or anything like that, but just, you know, he was talking about quarantine. But he's talking about quarantining people on terrorist watch lists. So pretty much internment, but not blanket internment. He was talking about internment of people who are on these watch lists that keep getting off of them and then eventually committing violence or aiding and abetting violence and something like that, but and are actually using our laws to get out of it. Like this guy that planted the bombs in New York City, he sued the police, or he took legal action to get people off the scent.
Yeah, so he wouldn't, so they wouldn't investigate him or something like that. But just because you mentioned that, I don't know, I think maybe, I think I was reading something in the paper today. It said by accident, like, amnesty was granted to like 800 or something refugees that were like known criminals or something like that. Was it like that much or like 85? I don't remember.
No, 800.
It was?
Yep. By accident. By accident. You want to talk? They say we have vetting. We're vetting people properly. We are, like Alex said last night. Alex Blitzer said last night, when you're talking to people who are very, very conspiracy theory minded, he keeps pointing to the unbelievable amount of incompetence that is in government, and that to call it a conspiracy theory in his eyes really isn't doing. You know, it's actually an insult to intelligent people. Because these people are not capable of pulling off something on such a global scale. My only response to that is it's not like it's done being done by, you know, it's not a fly-by-night type of operation. Maybe it used to be little niblets here and there. But there is an ideological problem. There is an infiltration that we're witnessing right now. And the problem is it's being done legally. People like George Soros, what is there to be said about conspiracy theory in George Soros? Look at what he's involved in and look at what he's doing to the world legally. Look at what he's supporting and look at what's coming out of what he's supporting.
Whatever he wants, whatever his vision is, he's got to finish up with it. This guy's got to be like 100 years old already.
He doesn't care. It doesn't matter, man. He's got
Money to stay alive?
No, he's got his progeny. He's got his younger. He's got his son, who is going to pick up daddy's work 100%. George Soros actually just pledged $500 million. I think $500 million to the migrant crisis in Europe. I forgot what it was. What did he just pledge $500 million to?
86 years old. This guy's worth $25
investing
billion $500
million to help refugees. So he's investing in $500 million in programs and companies that benefit migrants. So he's going to build cheap motels and hotels. Shit like that. You watch that. You watch companies that are going out there and making and installing people into European countries right now, companies that are going out and installing facilities and stuff that are going to be able to house people long-term in European, Western European countries around the hemisphere.
His family sold out Jews during World War II, and he's Jewish.
Yes. Yes, I heard about that. Don't know too much about it, though. I just heard it being said. Let's move on. We have to get some details on that. So the gaslighting continues on this front. Here's another one from The Hill. Ready? Poll. Clinton regains 5-point lead nationally.
I don't believe it.
5-point lead nationally. And when I saw that to myself, I we're supposed to believe that after a weekend of terrorism, the woman who can't stand, speak, or think by herself or for herself, the woman who can't get people to show up to her rallies, the woman who can't keep any of her lies straight anymore, the woman who is now rattling sabers with Alex Jones and Pepe the Frog for any kind of attention, desperately, she just jumped 5 points over Trump. Ha! No, my friends, there is no enthusiasm. We are all being gaslighted by the media. They're trying to convince you something is happening that is simply not happening. They're trying to convince us many things that are happening are simply not happening. You got to disavow this right-left Republican-Democrat game, and you see it very, very simply. You don't have to be a decent person. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to be able to say what a decent person is. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Everything is... Okay, listen. Let me put what I see this as. Everything is becoming hive mind and groupthink. No matter what side you're on. In this particular game, it's all groupthink. It's all hive mind activity. Even down, they don't want you thinking individually. They don't want you being critical thinkers. They don't want you being able to study one thing at a time. It is a blanket. It is a blanket issue all of the time. Look at even the way that government operates now with these continuing resolutions. I mentioned them briefly last night with Tim Pool, and they always come up every once in a while because I think it's a major problem in Congress. Is that you have these big spending bills that pretty much fund the entire government and all of its programs, and that's just it. Everybody comes in to vote on one big spending bill because it's like they're so fucking busy. These congressmen and women, they're so fucking busy doing things, doing good things. Absolutely not. All they do is fucking campaign, raise money for their party, to ensure the future of their party, and campaign for re-election as soon as they win. That's it. And then they posture in front of cameras. They don't do anything. So for everybody at home, it's like, what's a continuing resolution? A CR is what I just said, a big spending bill. So you have the Department of Education and Energy and all the little, you know, itemized things under there. You know, PBS, so Sesame Street can have its funding. You know, NIH, all these different medical wings and programs and all this stuff that the government funds. It all, they just slap it in under one big, into one big sack, and they put a price on the sack. That's it. Instead of saying, okay, let's go bargain hunting a little bit, honey. Let's compare prices on apples and oranges. It's like, no. You're taking the whole fucking, you're taking the whole market with you. Sort it out at the end. That's exactly what it is. And the reason why it's bad is, what's wrong with streamlining something and making it easier? Well, the problem is that you're not talking about something you do in a job. Like a factory somewhere, you find something to make a batch something easier, and you just kind of automate something and you innovate. It's not like that. We're talking about people who handle the very intimate details of our lives. All these programs, that is our money. That is our money. And with our money, they take our money that we work hard for, and then they politicize things. And they use our money against ourselves, or they try to use our money to spin against any other kind of political enemy or create any kind of narrative to gain control over people. Their thinking patterns, their voting patterns, and voting in ways that legitimizes government's existence in the form that it is right now. which is completely bloated and completely intrusive on people's lives. Completely intrusive. And they'll never take you down a road that requires less of them. They're never going to lead you down that road. Not the vast majority of them, anyway. And what these continued resolutions do, I've got, like, cerebral palsy of the lips tonight. I cannot say certain words.
It's Asperger's.
Who's that? Who's that, Mike May?
Yeah.
Good to see you, Mike May. Death Star DLC is awesome. Going back to what we're saying over here. What you have with the resolutions are, you have people that hold up the entire government, and they threaten, you know, they hold a political party hostage, or they call another people terrorists. Remember in February 2013 with that 17-day government shutdown or something like that? Think about all the venom that was being spat back then. Harry Reid calling Republicans terrorists. Terrorists. Everybody going back and forth, terrorists and this, and they're holding the government hostage and hostage. What happens? We closed out a couple of parks, and we save a lot of money, actually. I wish that we can nip 17% right off the bat. But that's what happens. It creates these political stalemates, and it also forces things onto bills that are not good for people. Now, whether you like it or not, I don't give a shit. Planned Parenthood should not be covered by public money. It should not be covered by public money. You have more than enough support out there. Okay, in this day and age, more than enough support, you would be able to raise 2 times the amount you get from the government, which is $500 million. You do not need the tax money of people who may not support the practices that go on there. That's why things like Planned Parenthood and healthcare, in any form, were not mentioned in the duties of the federal government, because it is not to the federal government. It is to states to deal with what the states want to do, so that you have a place to run from something and not take part in it if you wanted to. You call this a republic, it's a federal republic. It's actually a republic of many republics. Okay, I hate to blow your minds, but the states are not just glorified voting districts. These are countries. That's exactly what the framers intended. And that's what freedom is.
Like city-states from Greece.
Pretty much.
They're all part of Greece, but they're their own country.
They're nations. Nation-states inside of a larger nation. It's exactly what it is. And when you start dabbling with that, then you're able to hold hostage highway money from somebody if they don't take part in a federal program like Common Core. If you don't fund Planned Parenthood, we're not going to approve the bill, and then we will blame it on you, and we will demonize you for being anti-woman, and we're going to use this in the next election and all that. And then that's when you have people like Republicans who are supposed to be an opposition party and actually stand their ground and actually have lively debates. They backpedal and they don't allow it. We're not having the debates about what is necessary in government, and that is less government, because both sides don't want to be nipped away. So since both sides don't want to be nipped away, they go along to get along. They play the opposition off against each other. They make the people crazy, but they're just ensuring that them and their progeny and all of their known associates, they get a lot of money. They get all the right contracts. They stick around. They make their own appointments. They shift people around. What if they get in trouble over here? They get shifted around to a position or appointment on the other side of the country. You shift this one around. It's just like exactly what the Catholic Church did with all the molesting priests at one point. They just started shifting them around.
That's still what they do.
It's ridiculous. We got to be mad about different things, man. Got to be mad about different things. So the 5-point lead, I don't fucking believe it 1 second. Okay.
When she's down 5, that's what that means.
Yeah. Let me see here. New York Post. Look at this. This is the cover of the New York Post.
Allahu Akbar.
Mind you, we're still looking for a motive. Bomber hates gays, hates military, hates culture. He hates America.
But they don't know why he did it, though?
That's no, they're still trying to look for a motive, because hating America today is normal. That's good. We just have to find a motive. It's curious as to why he hates gays, though. That's the one concerning thing. Because, you know, hating on the military and hating America and hating culture, that is... You get a gold star, Jimmy. That's what 2016 is all about. So, I mean, he's actually a pretty good liberal. He's actually a pretty good liberal. But considering how liberals are getting gays to believe that letting more of this guy into the country is going to be good for them, they must hate gays as well.
Why is he in a...
He's in a gurney because he was shot.
He was in a... There was a shootout?
Oh, dude. The first thing he did when he saw police come at him is shoot the cop. The cop lived. He took a bullet to the stomach.
Yeah.
But the cop laid him down, too. So there you go. There's the local police. They're the ones taking the bullets for this stuff. Don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about the undercover cop, too, in Minnesota that put down the... The Somali up there that was running around stabbing people, asking people if they were Muslim, and if they said no, or if they were lying, he stabbed the fuck out of them.
Yep.
And there you go. Put 3 shots into him. I would have emptied a few more in. Just a few more. Son of a bitch. What the fuck is going on right now?
What is this other police shooting that I...
I don't know anything about it. I'll know more about it for tomorrow. But we got that, and de Blasio comes out. Mayor de Blasio comes out today. He says that the Islamic refugee violence is, quote, vanishingly rare. Vanishingly rare. Obviously, he hasn't been paying attention to Europe, and he hasn't paid attention to both Orlando and San Bernardino and all the other attacks and instances that were either covered briefly and covered up, or covered up from the get-go. Things like what's going on in Idaho, the sexual assaults that are even starting in this country. Yeah, it's vanishingly rare in modern history. Vanishingly rare. So for everybody out there, I want you to keep an ear out for your local progressive Foot Clan member using that fresh new adverb. A fresh new adverb. That they're going to... Everybody's at home trying on their new adverb shoes. Because they've been using things like... They've been using words like systemic and problematic for so long. And they're like, oh, well, we need a new word. I mean, it's vanishingly rare. Vanishingly. Vanishingly. I've definitely got to start using that word. So all of your really smart guy at the coffee house, progressive Foot Clan member types... Be on the lookout for the new adverb that's going to be on the streets. They're going to love it. Adverb is fucking superb. Have you used the word vanishingly lately? It feels amazing. It feels fucking amazing. Conservatives don't even know how to handle themselves when you use it. It's like they their circuitry gets fried. Gotta try this. Stupid asses. Got talking to the microphone, brother.
Just an out loud thought.
Put him in there.
I just said that these people are out of it. They're out of touch.
Can you speak a little louder?
Fucking touch.
Speak a little louder.
These people are out of touch.
Okay, that's a little bit better. Speak from the stomach. Got to get from the stomach. So I want to hear Johnny Vroom and people call in. The Skype is on now. Start drinking. What else we have here? And while all that's going on, meanwhile, in the U.S. military, the Navy is requiring all sailors to undergo a transgender education by July 2017. So there you go, everybody. Meanwhile, in the U.S. military, everybody's is undergoing transgender education. While bombs are going off in New York, the Navy, the once great United States Navy, is...
I wonder what Jay Ostrowski thinks about
this. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what Navy vets are thinking right now. I can't imagine what anybody's thinking right now. It seems like the only branch, the Marines seem like the only things that are holding themselves together best.
That's the Marine Corps, bro.
They seem like the only ones that are holding themselves together the best. Out of all of them, I mean...
You know, go and just fucking tell the Marine Corps what or what not to do.
You're damn right. We're going to go on a really quick break. When we come back, listen to this. When we come back, we've got an exorcist, one of the greatest exorcists in our times. He's died. Gang members and government guns coming up next. Gang members coming forward right now. Or just testimony that's been released and people talking about this is being resurfacing. That the gun problem in Chicago is because of the U.S. government trafficking guns in there, just leaving crates of guns in alleyways and, you know, hoping, letting people find them. We'll see. We'll see, dude. Lewd town names and, of course, another sex robot update as they keep rolling in. The world is walking faster and faster towards sex robot sex, the hottest sex you'll ever have in your life.
Yes.
Can't wait. Talk to you soon.
Entertainment Network on ZenLive.tv.
And here we are, just chilling. It's 7:42 p.m. And here's the first thing I wanted to get around to. Of course, you guys can call in and talk about anything we spoke about in the first part of the show. But here's the one question I want to ask. This is from the ncregister.com. World famous exorcist Father Gabriel Amorth dies at 91. He performed over 70,000 exorcisms over the past 30 years. My only question is, what do we do now?
Run.
What do we do now?
Don't get possessed.
I do. Yeah.
I definitely can't get possessed. Like, when I went to Ledgeworth and all that, I, like, called demons out and this and that, and they're afraid of me. So I don't know. I'll never get possessed. The devil don't have the balls to possess me.
I don't know, man.
I do.
This is the major fight. A person who is fighting for us. That's 70,000 people.
That's insane.
70,000 people that he's hopefully helped. I don't know. So think about that.
What was his most famous case? Does it say?
Let's read a little bit. The renowned exorcist Pauline Father Gabriel Amorth has died at age 91. A priest of the Diocese of Rome, Father Amorth was admitted to hospital a few weeks ago, suffering from pulmonary complications, according to Italian media reports. When I'm that old and I start having that kind of problem, they're like, all right, well, this is it. It's time. I'm going to die.
When you have appetite problem?
No. Pulmonary complications. That's, heart problems.
Oh.
His death was announced by San Paolo Group, the San Paolo Group, which has published many of his books. Born in Modena on May 1st, 1925, Gabriel Amorth entered into the Pauline congregation in Alba. But let's see, how did he get into the actual... Asked if there were any leaders today who would be similarly possessed, the exorcist said there are many who listen to the temptations of Satan and follow him. Because of that, he said, the world goes bad. Instead of leading others towards peace and well-being, the world moves toward war and unease. So who's he talking about? He said that he thought that Hitler and Stalin were certainly possessed by the devil, but denied that the fact removed their personal responsibility. Denied the fact that removed their personal responsibility for their actions.
What do you mean? That means he's saying they're not responsible for what they did?
No, he's saying that even though he believes they were possessed,
yeah,
it doesn't remove their personal responsibility. Uh-huh. He believed that they were possessed, but there is an action on your own part. So imagine that. I wish he would just say. He said ISIS is Satan in reference to the so-called Islamic State, which has been brutally murdering Christians and other minorities in the Middle East in an effort to create a worldwide caliphate. Members of the terrorist group have since been trying to spread their atrocities to the West. Father Amorth said at the time only two spiritual realms exist, the Holy Spirit and the demonic spirit. And that the demonic enters because evil is disguised in various ways, political, religious, and cultural. The demonic spirit has one source of inspiration, the devil, and that is, and as a Christian, he said, fights the beast spiritually. He fights the beast spiritually. He noted that the political world, which today seems to lack a response in the face of the massacre of Christians, will also have to fight ISIS, and it will do it in a different way. If it advances as it seems to be doing, as we ask ourselves, what has the West done over the course of the last decades? You think about that, dude. Well, let's just think about it from his point of view. There has been a Christian genocide going on. That is just something that you have to acknowledge in an unbiased way. It's going on. Christian populations in the Middle East have vanished, and they're like a fraction of a percentage point of the amount of the people who are being evacuated from the Middle East. I think it's like 0.4 or 0.04. Somebody please help me with that and put it in the chat room. The population of the refugees being taken out of the Middle East are Christians. They're all, most of them, a majority of them are Muslim males of military age.
20-25% of them are extremists, right? Isn't that?
That has not been denied, and it has been affirmed by heads of every intelligence and homeland security office of any kind of consequence. That has been confirmed by all of them. That it is not a matter of if, it is yes, these populations are being and are going to continue to be infiltrated by Islamic radicals. And for Obama, and for everybody to go out there and really just doll this up in ways and say ridiculous things, and it's almost like Richard Nixon in this case, where, you know, it wasn't the break-in at the hotel that Nixon got impeached for, because he really didn't know about the break-in. It was the cover-up. It's how far the cover-up went. And the more he tried to spin and lessen it and deflect and make it go away, he dug himself deeper. The same thing is happening right now. Of course, Barack Obama will never feel the legal consequences of it. Absolutely not. He's being backed by a very radical ideology of his own. But an ideology that I don't understand. I don't understand why the Marxist leftists, these progressive lefts, the progressives, period, why they're cozy with Islam in such a way.
Because they don't really know about it.
The only thing that comes to my mind, because they're godless. For the most part, they want God out of everything. They scoff at anybody that genuflects before any kind of deity or surrenders themselves to a higher being of any kind. That's just the trope for being a Democrat, liberal, leftist. That's just the trope. They're classically anti-God and classically worship government as God. You know, it's the haven of atheists. It is. Okay, I know there are people of faith there, but they, even then, they've actually bent and redefined things for themselves to allow it to fit in with the narrative. They've actually allowed people to take the messages of someone like Jesus and turn it into pro-government messages of why we need to tax people to death, because, you know, if you're a person of faith, you know we have to take care of other people. Like, no. If you're a person of faith, you have a duty to take care of other people. Yourself. Do what you can. Form private check. And I'm not just talking about going to somebody's house and feeding them, or going to work in soup kitchens and actually, you know, there are other things you can do. You can continue. You can contribute in different ways, just like people can fight a war in different ways. I don't know what my usefulness in a battlefield would be because of, you know, I mean, in a life or death situation, you'd have to clear yourself up and pick yourself up and act in any way to preserve yourself. But in a battlefield, I'm more so on the information side of things. I'm so much more useful as a thinker. I know many of you probably feel that way too, outside of the realm of self-preservation. You know, just because, you know that there are other ways that you could apply yourself and make it useful. If you are the military tactician, you probably will join the military, and because you want to be able to be useful in that way when the time is necessary. Okay? Same thing goes for all this stuff. You know, how you help other people. Some people want to get dirty. Some people want to go out, Habitat for Humanity types, and they want to go build schools. They want to take a month out of their year to go to Mexico to help build a hospital somewhere, or go to Africa and help purify, bring clean water to a village, like our friend Sean Walsh was doing for a while. Then there are people who want to invent a straw that you can suck through bad water and have it be filtered so that you can make bad water drinkable. There are people that want to create technology that helps people, that the go out and the groundwork people can go out and apply the technology. Then there are people who are more useful on, you know, they may not be able to drive a rivet in. They may not be able to build a flight of steps, but they definitely be able to found and organize and grow a company that supports efforts on the ground, a private company, an organization of people, of do-gooders. That's the beauty of freedom. You don't lose your charity. That's the beauty of conservatism. You don't lose your charity. It actually comes to life in ways you'll never get through the type of bullshit that is sold by government charity. Does anybody feel good giving your tax money away? Do you feel like you're making a difference? If you do, then you are fucking insane. That's some lazy, incompetent bullshit. If you rationalize that shit away, if you tell me that taxation feels good, that you go home at night when you have to skimp on the groceries and you're laying in bed going, you know what? I definitely could use a couple of $100 extra a month to feed myself, but thank God somebody out there is getting a textbook or somebody, and it's not even happening. It's not even happening. It's wasted on paying salaries and administration. And it's spent in the worst ways. It's not even that the idea wasn't a good idea. Of course it was. But government is incompetent. It's the incompetency. It wastes money everywhere. It barely applies anything to the problem. Look at Hillary Clinton's foundation. We were just covering an article last week or 2 weeks ago talking about confirmed 6%, I think at most 6% of all of the Clinton Foundation's income goes to charity. There you go. You're raising millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, mostly by selling off appointments and ambassadorships and all that shit. But you're making hundreds of millions of dollars, and 94% of it doesn't even go to a charitable cause. Get the fuck out of here. It's like, that is the difference. But you see how long it took for this conversation to develop? People don't have that time. People don't want to sit back and listen to that type of stuff or contemplate how deep freedom really goes and the responsibility of a free people really goes. And what is charity and what simply isn't. And what's done with that money in the name of charity, the politicizing, the pitting of people up against each other with the money that they're earning at jobs that most of us feel miserable at. Well, that's a good place to end. All right, everybody. Until tomorrow. Oh, real quick. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veras, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Pepis, Ancaparato, Max Ancaparato, Mad Mince, Jackie Milam, and Jenny Lee. Those are my bosses. Those are the people who keep me going. Love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please share the show with somebody on SoundCloud or iTunes and leave a rating. And if you want to be one of those people that I love more than most, go to patreon.com and / quite frankly, $1, $5, the 1776 Club. I love having more pen pals to write to. So you guys take care of yourselves. Coming up next is Joe and Jonesy of Broken Filter Live, followed by us again, I think, Zeralda, New York at 9 o'clock. We'll be back here to talk about apolitical topics and just chilling out for a bit. Steve Miosu's in the house as well. We're going to take him upstairs and spank him.